Here's what I want to start with. I want everybody to take a deep breath, all right? We'll just work on this together. Ready? We're going to breathe in. Let it out. That feels good, doesn't it? I was at a Christmas service Saturday night. My son was leading worship over at Rockefeller Plaza. They do an outdoor service over there every year. And I went because, well, to see my son, but I also went because I needed to get myself in the right frame of mind for Christmas. And I got there, and like your life, it had been one of those days. It was just normal chaos. A zoo had gone on. And I walked over to the rail by the river, and I stood there and just took a deep breath, and I said, God, don't let me lose you in all of this other stuff. Can anybody relate to that? Listen, I know you've had all kinds of stuff that have gone on. It's been going on for a month. And I know what tonight's going to be like. I know what tomorrow's going to be like. Maybe the rest of the week, somewhere along the line, you got the in-laws to deal with. I mean, all this stuff is coming. You during my sermon, two or three of you are going to say, oh, I forgot to pick this up. I still have to go get this. It's okay. Just make a note on your iPhone. It's all right. But in the midst of all of that, what we hope to do tonight is just give you a deep breath, a chance to say, you know what? I'm here tonight because God loved me. I'm here tonight because God stepped into time. I'm here tonight, if you don't know the Christmas story, let me just tell you, it's about the fact that God had been talking from heaven. He'd been whispering from heaven. He'd been screaming from heaven. But people weren't hearing so well. So God said, I'll just go. And so 2,000 years ago, God took on flesh and he's born as a baby in Bethlehem. And everybody celebrated the birth. They celebrated the fulfillment of the prophecy. We'll read about this in just a second. But then very quickly people began to forget. Not that any of us would be that way. But there's three things that happen. We're here to celebrate. We got that part down pretty good. I think we Americans have the celebration down. Then there's the salvation part of Christmas, which some of you understand. Some of you have made Jesus the Savior of your life. Others, you need to think about, what am I going to do when I die? And then there's the reconciliation piece. And that's that at Christmas we're reminded of how short life is. And that this is an opportunity to fix things. Maybe it's to say I'm sorry and I love you to a spouse. Or maybe it's a child. Or maybe it's a parent. Or maybe it's an ex-spouse. I don't know what you're dealing with. But if you leave here today and go, oh man, what a show. The lights were wonderful. The music was wonderful. The pastor looked amazing. I mean, if you leave here with that and you don't leave here saying, wow, God really loves me, then you've missed it. Because that's what we want you to get. In the midst of the chaos, we want you to take a deep breath and reconnect with God. A special welcome to all of you that are in the overflow and those of you that are sitting out in the lobby watching on monitors. God bless you, and we'll do our very best to communicate everything and get everybody out there to you for communion. But this is the time for us to take that deep breath and to focus again on why we're here. Now here's what's amazing. Whether you're a believer or not, let me throw this thing at you, okay? 1/12 of our year, 1 month, is dedicated to the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, whether you're a believer or not, whether you have any intentions of it being that or not, the truth is, from Thanksgiving Day until Christmas Day, or even into the middle of January, if you're in East Africa celebrating Christmas, so there is a 4 to 6 week period every year that we celebrate the birth of this baby. That's pretty powerful, don't you think? But tragically in our culture, even at Christmas time, Jesus has almost become irrelevant. Now that doesn't make any sense to me. How does Jesus become irrelevant when it's supposed to all be about him, when it's about his birthday? And the answer is because all this other stuff squeezes in. It's kind of like Rudolph. Remember Rudolph had a problem? Reindeer? All the other reindeers wouldn't, let him play? Well, we had the same problem recently with an elephant. We have an elephant up here. You see him. He was having a hard time because the other elephants wouldn't play with him, and he kind of set him aside. He felt totally irrelevant. You can't boo, it's Christmas, sorry. Husband and wife are sitting at their breakfast table, and the wife says, "Honey, do you know what today is?" And the husband realized he was in big trouble. You ever felt that moment? You're like, "Oh no, and I'm supposed to know the answer to this." So being very smug, he said, "Well, of course I know what today is." And he got up and he went to work and he said, "Man, I am in deep trouble." So about noon, the doorbell rings, lady opens the door, beautiful box, long stem red roses. She's so pleased. 2 o'clock, the doorbell rings again, 2-pound box of her favorite chocolates. The lady's so happy. 4 o'clock, it rings, there is a designer dress has been delivered to her. She's beside herself. She cannot wait for her husband to get home. He walks in the door. She throws her arms around him. She said, "This is the greatest Groundhog Day I have ever had." That's as good as we're going to get. So, listen, something is going to get forgotten. But here's what I hope, that you and I don't forget what tomorrow really is. At my house, this is what will happen. About 9 o'clock, some people will start stirring. It's a sad moment for me because I could sleep a couple more hours. But about 9 o'clock, they're going to start stirring. And then I'm going to say, "I'm not doing anything until somebody hands me coffee." So they'll bring me coffee. And then we'll sit down for the carnage that's about to take place. All right? Is everybody familiar with what I'm talking about? But before we do, somebody will be asked to open up the Bible and to read the Christmas story from Luke 2, from Matthew 2, from Isaiah chapter 9, sometimes some of the other prophets. But we'll read a scripture together, and then somebody will pray. Now, I realize that for children that can be torture, to be sitting there staring at all those presents and yet to do that. But, and we're not saying by any means that we're perfect, but it is a reminder to us of what this day really is. To not forget that this is about Jesus. It's about what he did. But here's what happens. Very quickly, the people forget all about him. They're like, "Well, what do you mean they forget?" Well, they start drifting because as you flip over in your Bibles from Luke chapter 2 to chapter 15, there's a huge change. Let's read chapter 2. Let me just take you through the story quickly. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" Now, wouldn't you think that'd be the end of the story? That would be it. That story right there ought to be enough. The celebration is on. The salvation message is on. The reconciliation message is on. And then by the time you get to Luke 15, people are already walking away. How do I know that? Because Jesus tells three stories in Luke 15. One about a lost coin, one about a lost sheep, and one about a lost son. Now, the important thing to understand is that this son was a son. And the son decided he was going to go out and he was going to blow all of daddy's money. He was going to go out and party and live life and do a lot of things that I can't talk about because there's a lot of children that are here in the room today. But he went out and he blew everything. And he ends up in a pig pen, literally. And he says, "You know, I'd be better off if I was a servant for my father than to be in the mess I'm in now." And he's thinking, "I wonder if my father will have me back." And he heads on his way home. And on the way home, it says the dad was standing there looking out the door. Apparently, dad had been looking out the door ever since the son left. Now, that dad represents God. And when he saw his son coming, it says that God ran down the road to meet him to say, "Son, welcome home." Guys, that's the story of Christmas. I don't know what view you have of Christianity. I don't know what view you have of God and Jesus. But the whole point of Christianity is that when God whispered and we didn't listen, and he yelled and we didn't listen, he actually came to earth and said, you know what? I'll chase you down the road, but I want you back at home with me. That's the God we serve. Maybe this video will help you understand.
There's Peyton Steven, a happy sixth grader enjoying a tasty slice at lunch. What she didn't know is that this very ordinary Monday was about to take a surprising and wonderful turn.
She's always been more of a daddy's girl.
That's Peyton's dad, Chief Warrant Officer Daryl Steven, just back from 8 months in Afghanistan, ready to surprise his daughter here at John F. Kennedy Elementary in Riverside.
She's been texting me. She's like, oh, are you going to make it home before Christmas? And at first I really wasn't sure because they don't really give us exact dates, so we don't really know for certain what day we're going to travel.
So what will Steven's daughter do when she sees him again for the first time?
She's probably going to scream. She likes to yell.
Turns out he was right.
Hi, how are you doing, huh? I love you.
A Christmas wish comes true.
I wanted to surprise you.
Now, I want to tell you what you just saw. And what you didn't see, what you saw was love between a father and his daughter. You know what you heard? You heard, I love you. You heard, welcome home. What you didn't hear was, what took you so long, Dad? Where you been, Dad? What have you been doing? Why didn't you come sooner? Why did you miss my birthday party? You didn't hear the father say, what have you been doing since I was gone? Have you always told the truth? Did you clean your teeth every night? Did you wash your clothes? You don't hear any of that, do you? You hear hugs and welcome home. I love you. That's what Jesus came to do. Does that make it a little clearer for you now? That's what the Christmas message is all about, but it's been so convoluted by our culture and what we call multiculturalism, which is the most ridiculous thing to come down the pipe, that all answers are true. And here's the problem. Multiculturalism really sounds good until you hear it. All right? I wrote that. Let me say it again. Multiculturalism really sounds good until you hear it. Listen to this prayer. This was prayed at a council meeting in Lake Worth, Florida. Dear Mother Earth, we gather today in our redeeming and glorious presence to invoke your eternal guidance in the universe, the originator of all things. May the efforts of this council blend the righteousness of Allah with the all-knowing wisdom of Satan. May Zeus, the great God of justice, grant us strength tonight. Jesus might forgive our shortcomings while Buddha enlightens us through his divine affection. We praise you, Krishna, for your sanguine sacrifice that freed us all. After all, if Almighty Four is with us, who could ever be against us? And finally, for the bounty of logic, reason, and science, we simply thank the atheist, agnostics, humanist, who now account for 1 in 5 Americans and rapidly growing. In closing, let us above all love one another, not to obtain mythical rewards for ourselves now, hereafter, or based on superstitious threats of eternal damnation, but rather embrace secular-based principles of morality and do good for goodness sake.
Now, I don't care if you don't believe anything. If you're here tonight as a total non-believer, you got to know how foolish that sounds. There's got to be a right answer and a wrong answer. And God said, they won't listen when I whisper, they won't listen when I yell, so I'll show up and be amongst them. Surely that will help them understand. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he even brought Jesus back from the grave to prove that he was who he claimed to be. But we live in a culture that's so upside down that we even forget why we do what we do at Christmas. Historians have said that over the last 5,590 years, there have been 15,000 wars in the world. They say that there's, they think there's been a 3-month break somewhere where there was no war. I just figured they didn't have the reporter in the right place that particular day. We haven't done so well, have we? In fact, if you take a look at the world, it's not that complex. We could talk about kidnapping and brutality and murder in Iraq. We could talk about civil war in Syria. We could talk about Ebola coming out of West Africa. We could talk about the racial problems here in America. We could talk about the abuse of children in Nigeria. On and on the list could go. Our nuclear problems, our financial problems, our debt problems, and all of those would be legitimate concerns. But honestly, some of you have no idea what I just said in the last 2 minutes, because you got so many problems in your own life with your finances, your marriage, your divorce, your ex, your children, your grief, that it's so real that you're not sure what to do with your problems, let alone the world's problems. Perry Stone, pastor in South Carolina, and he recently wrote a piece that I think really speaks to where we're at today. He's talking about all these problems, and he says, you know, ultimately what it comes down to is that the only answer is the gospel. Now, if you don't know what that word means, it just means the good news about Jesus. The fact that Jesus really was God, he really did step into time, and he came to bring on the celebration, the salvation, and the reconciliation. But this is what Perry Noble writes. He said, so what is the answer to the world's problems? The gospel, the good news, period. The gospel is the only thing that has the power to strip away our prideful determination to see ourselves as superior to someone else because of his or her skin color or financial background or cultural background. The gospel is the only thing that will stop violence and acts of aggression towards people. The gospel is the only thing that can heal the pain of those who have been targeted for senseless acts of violence because of their race or religion. The gospel is the only thing that will bring people to the table and seek to understand each other rather than condemn each other. The gospel is the only thing that will bring peace and stability to a world that is dominated by fear and uncertainty. The gospel is the only thing that will eradicate the pride and arrogance that we have. The gospel of Jesus works, period. Political correctness can change our language, but only Jesus can change our hearts. Let's watch this video.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a special homecoming this evening. Staff Sergeant Nikita Newton has returned home tonight from a 1-year tour at Osan Air Force Base in Korea. She has been in the Air Force for 11 proud years and has been deployed multiple times overseas. Her children, tonight's contestants, Cedric and Angelina, have been living with their aunt and uncle for over the past year, but they will rejoin their mother for her next tour in Japan later this month. Welcome home, Staff Sergeant Nikita Newton, and congratulations, Cedric and Angelina, both winners in tonight's Dick's Sporting Goods Dizzy Bat Race.
Did you hear what wasn't said? Mom, what took you so long? Mom, what's going on? What have you been doing? Did you brush your teeth, kids? Did you do your homework? No, just welcome home, and I love you. Guys, that's the message of Christmas. It is God saying to us, welcome home.